Welcome to Entrepreneurs, the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer. I'm here at the greatest stadium ever built. It's amazing what $5.5 billion will buy. In fact, that Oculus right there is $1 billion. If somebody would tell me that I'd see a $1 billion TV in my lifetime, I'd tell them they were high and then ask if I could have some. But more importantly, I have an extraordinary entrepreneur with me today. He is the managing partners of In Studio Ventures. He's also a friend of mine. They're doing a documentary about him as being a top entrepreneur in the mindset of a top entrepreneur. Welcome, my friend, Danny Cordenrade. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me, Dave.
Great to have you. Look, I ran the most notable sports agency in the world. That's what set me apart in the sports world.
Yep.
Before that, I was in technology and venture.
Yep.
The reason I got hired by Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment as the CEO was not because I was a great sports agent or a great lawyer. I'm still not a great sports agent or a great lawyer, but he had found someone that had the most experience in venture capital and technology and had some sort of background in sports law, sports entertainment, and things like that. So most people think, oh, Dave Meltzer is a legendary sports agent. I consider myself a legendary sports executive who specialized in technology and venture, which was a common bond between us. The reason Lee in the early 2000s hired me because of the venture in technology is he's a visionary. He was one of the first people to see that the future of sports had nothing to do with agency. It had to do with venture and technology.
Yep.
And you and Rich Kleiman and KD and, you know, everybody out there is learning what Lee thought of 20 years ago and hired me to do 20 years ago, which brings up the first point. Things happen very slowly and then all of a sudden.
Yeah. Takes off.
And you were one of the people that talked about challenges early because you had a vision as well in sports.
Yep.
And that vision is now today resulting in you being in this great documentary involved in investing as a lead investor in some of the best sports and entertainment deals that are around the world with the biggest people on the biggest stages. Mm-hmm. What got you to the point where you're an overnight success?
Yeah, people call it overnight success, right? But that's definitely not the case. And believe me, also when I was talking actually with my wife about it, or also my parents, when I just moved to New York, I was looking at pictures and I saw how I was looking. That was not good, I can tell you. Blue bags and just grinding and putting everything out there to scale a company. But that's part of it, right? Everybody's looking at the Instagram pictures. But believe me, that's nice, but that's not how you, in the end, get to that level. And I think for me, it really comes down to a couple of things. One is the relationships. That's for me everything. I'm a very positive and general guy. That's also what I get back from people. And I think that's something that's, and yet we're people, right? You want to do business with good people. And I think that's where it started for me already from a young age and building my career up in the corporate world. Worked for Vodafone and Sony. But then after that, I scaled two businesses. And then in the end, I'm now investing in sports, right? Where you were referring to. We're the lead investor in the boardroom company from Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman. The other investor is Michael Rubin. I'm grateful for that, right? Kevin is earning more than $100 million per year. It's not per se looking for money, right? It's looking for specific people who get building a community on and offline. With my background, I can add value there. So for me, it's really get to that overnight success. It's a long thing with long hours grinding. But at the same time, also making sure you're a good person as a husband or as I have two little boys. How do you combine that, right? Because you hear all these stories from the top entrepreneurs working all these hours. I don't know how many hours you're working, but we're
never.
All.
I don't work.
No.
I have activity I get paid for, activity I don't get
paid
for.
That you love.
Work, yeah. Well, I learned to love to do it, right?
Exactly.
I think the big point is entrepreneurs have, I joke around and you can watch my intro video, my speech, right? Do you think I loved selling legal research online?
Mm.
No, I learned to love it because it was for the sake of buying my mom a house and a car. I learned to love it.
Yeah.
And that's what you had when I met you as a young man.
Yeah.
Is look, this shit sucks, but I have a superpower that I can take a perspective and I can learn to love what other people don't like or love. That's why Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning led me to the greatest power that God gave us, which is to give meaning to everything we see. That is different than the cup is half full. It's different than being an optimist, a toptimist, or like my grandfather, Papa, the poptimist, I called him. It is, I actually give meaning to the struggle, the setbacks, the failures, which I've had a tremendous amount of them, in alignment with my divine direction.
Yeah.
And you've had that same capability.
Absolutely. And just doing something, I have two little boys, what I just mentioned, we're investing in youth sports, big for us. That gets me out of bed. That's something, we're investing in women's sports. We're on that historical moment that things are changing, that we can be part of that. And we what I said in my introduction, right, we're working closely with a lot of athletes. Guys are playing for the Premier League, La Liga. We have NFL players, NBA players, but we launched something like the Athlete Council. And what does that mean? We're involving these athletes in everything that we're doing. So if you have a deal flow meeting and going over these deals, they're calling in. So if we were looking at a deal to invest in an MLS team, we were talking with the CEO, a Premier League player is calling in, is listening, is asking questions. After that, we do another call to analyze the deal. The point what I'm trying to make here is just to double down on the education, that also the people really understand what we're investing in, than just writing a check and then get their quarterly updates. And that's something that we get back from the community, right? That's why the guys want to join us, because we're very transparent, opening doors, and they can actually understand what they're investing in. That's something different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned something about this deal flow. And one of the most difficult things about being in venture is that people don't understand how to qualify or prioritize deal flow.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to talk to Danny now that they know that he funds sports. And I'd introduce him to Scott, for example, because he has deals that are aligned with the timing and risk tolerance of the fund.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you would advise somebody who has a deal when they're approaching in studio, when they're approaching you? Because, you know, the worst thing to kill any opportunity you'll ever have is to come to me with something that is obvious you haven't aligned with what we're doing.
No, great question. Because on a daily basis, so many people know you're running the fund. You get all through LinkedIn, I don't know, 20, 25 people are just hitting me in DMs. Then I think on the email we get on a daily basis, I don't know how many people are reaching out and pitching us, because they know, right, they want to be funded. So for us, it's be honest. One, do your homework so you really understand what's our thesis, right? Because if you're pitching us all kind of stuff and we know we're focusing on Series A, Series B investments, we have a minimum of a 1 million ARR. That means 1 million revenue per year. Yeah, take that with you, right? Just, I think, and of course, you can reach out to us if you're in early stage and already want to have that conversation, so we're on your radar. But to be honest, we get a lot through our network. So to be on these off-market deals, right? Investing in an NFL franchise, but only six PE firms who can invest in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's much more access than demand to get in that network, and now being able to minority owner, that was also for us a lot of work and sitting down with the right people. The boardroom the same, with the MBA the same. So I think for us, it's being, we're looking at these vetted deals. So people that really understand what they're talking about. So I would say, if you know, I trust you. I know you really get investing. You just had an amazing exit, right? You are on that top level. So if you call me and say, Danny, you should look at this deal, I will look at it.
Right. So, and how often do I call you? Speaking of business,
that's true. No, right? I mean, you are.
Because I won't unless I have the
exactly.
deal.
Exactly.
So yeah, this is an important issue, because when you're in a position to help people, helping them is telling them what they need to do, not introducing them to someone they think they could go. So when people find out, if I didn't go through this in this interview, a lot of people will come up to you right away and or say, David, can you, they'll see this podcast and they'll call me, David, I need to talk to Danny. Even though he just said that, right? He needs, and I said, well, I'll introduce you to Danny, but you'll be a favor. And once you become a favor, you'll never get a deal. Do you know when people ask me to introduce them to my good friend, Gary Vee?
Yeah.
And I said, first of all, getting on Gary Vee's podcast at the stage you're at right now is going to do nothing for your brand, nothing for your community, and do nothing for you other than, you know, big-eyed, maybe, you know, get an emotional thrill of meeting Gary Vee and taking a picture with him. But worse, I will ruin your chance of having a relationship with Gary Vee because I will have to introduce you as a favor because you're not ready to meet Gary Vee. You cannot bring value to Gary. You're not aligned with his business model and whatever. And he knows that you're a favor. And then I've used one of my favors for something that's never going to happen. And two, I've killed your opportunity in the future because I've now labeled you a favor. And I am very clear, Poonam will tell you, because we work one-on-one, unlike the group side, and I'm very selective, that I'm very careful to make sure that I never make you a favor. And I will be very forward with people that this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
And The other side of it, though, is when favors are asked of you and you take them because we're friends. And I said, hey, Danny, this is a favor. Where do you send people that aren't qualified, that just want to get on your waiver, appease their emotional, you know, that, oh, my God, I met within studio and they said it's a good idea. That means nothing.
Yeah.
But do you send them someone, or what do you tell people when they're not ready as a Series A or have $1 million ARR?
No, I take time seriously, and then we have a conversation. I'm always trying to give some sort of piece of advice then at the end of the meeting, right? Just listening carefully where the founder is, or the market, the business model, how big is the TAM, all these kind of things. I'm listening carefully to that and trying to give advice. And maybe there is something, right? If you're in pre-seed stage, please hit us up if you're at the Series A level, and then we potentially can do something. Or if I can make an introduction to someone that makes sense, that I think, hey, that's better fit than for us. And I need to be honest there, right? I'm critical, and especially the last couple of years, I'm seeing so much more no than in the beginning. In the beginning, you were right eager and you're showing up everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's a clear focus on a business level. And if it's not fitting the thesis, I cannot distract myself because we're not getting there. And also on a personal level, you need to be careful with your time.
So on the other side, when you're a venture capitalist like we are, you also are taking money.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, everyone has their different philosophies of the type of money that they'll take. What type of money do you take?
Also there, critical strategic money. And right, everybody's talking about that, but I mean that. So we are backed by a lot of athletes, and that makes sense, right? These guys are playing or winning on the highest level in sports, did nothing else in their whole life, putting the time and effort, having the right mindset, right? If you're listening, I was with James yesterday on the phone. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah. The coach was just, but if you listen to him, how he's looking at that, for me, that's amazing, the mindset from athletes. Plus, they can actually add value to the things we're investing in, right? So for us, it's the LP base is a lot of athletes, high net worth and family offices. But I think mainly the athletes, that's the biggest part for us. There we're looking from the top tier one athletes, so playing on the highest level, plus a tier lower, I would say, with the guys who maybe played in the NFL for 3 to 5 years. And I think Peck is a great example how they are approaching it.
Yeah,
still made some money, but how can we also help there on an educational part to get them to the next level? Because again, we're not a traditional investment firm. That educational part is also very important for us to create an impact there together with the athletes. So that's the combination.
Yeah, and the educational component is why I'm an advisor to the professional athlete community, which is the YPO for professional athletes in all sports, NFL, NBA, et cetera. Now, there has to be buckets when you're in a high demand area, when you're doing deals with the NFL, when you're doing deals with the boardroom, where you're doing deals with me, there's a high demand aspect to what's going on. I found that a lot of people, instead of just saying no, and my no, just so you know, if you hear this from me, is not at this time. And that comes from understanding the universe, that the universe is infinite. I'm humble. So I know that tomorrow things could change. I can't tell you how many deals that I said not at this time and I was right. But I wasn't smart enough to go after them when it was the right time. And so, you know, one of my favorites, Kevin Plank, came into Lee's office and asked Lee for $10,000 to be a founding investor. And Lee's response was not at this time. It was like, are you crazy? How are you ever going to compete with Nike? Right. I'd be throwing my $10,000 down the ring. Now that 10,000 probably be worth about 200 million, if Lee would have given it to him at that time.
Wow.
But that's what investing is about. So not at that time. One of the responsibilities, I think, of being successful is to have buckets to help people. That's why 90% of what I do is free. So someone says, hey, Dave, can you do this for me? Not at this time, but why don't you show up to my Friday trainings that I've done for 28 years? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you do this? Or let me introduce you to this person. But I can't help you right now. As much as I want to, this is the help that I can give. And then so on and so forth. I think that it's an important responsibility as a venture capitalist to have buckets to send people, which is why I created the show Go Fund Yourself,
yep.
Elevator Pitch, 2-minute drill, so that someone that comes to me and say, I want to meet Danny. I'm like, not at this time, but why don't you come on Go Fund Yourself and crowdfunding and raise up on a Reg CF $5 million. and let you prove the market. And once you get there, Danny will want to talk to you. Yeah. I had a guy on the show yesterday, last guy, we had 12 different companies on GoFund Yourself. And he's a typical engineer, so he doesn't know how to present his company. The last thing he says, we're like, so you're doing a, he's raising, I think Wing was there, right? We were, right? Was it incredible? Super entrepreneur. He's like, we had to pull it out of him. Well, I got a $2 million contract with the defense out of nowhere. I'm like, wow. Well, that changes your valuation. And then the last thing he tells us, we're like, so, you know, are you raising on a reg CF? He goes, oh no, we raised $5 million in 8.5 days. Okay, I'm a little more interested in this deal. Right? And he started, most people are really good openers and shitty closers, right? This guy's one of the worst openers I've ever had and the best closer. He like saved all the juice for the end. So, but my point is we need to have these buckets.
Yeah.
And a lot of venture capitalists have arrogance of they're not like you of service and of value. You're truly, sincerely want to helping the investors. What are some of the buckets when people aren't ready for you where you send them?
The ecosystem, right? We've built up a great network during all these years. We know the other VCs, we know angel investors, we know just a lot of people in our network. And I think if you're not ready to be an institutional investor or a VC that's already on that Series A, Series B, maybe you're a little bit too early. But then we have angels, people who've done great in their career, are great entrepreneurs. And if we think there's really something there, we can make that connection. I think that's where it starts on these early days. We know the accelerators. Lead, I'm a general partner, also Lead. Lead stands for the legacy of Adidas. It's founded by the grandchild of Adi Dassler, the founder of Adidas. We have a family of funds there. From very early stage, we start our accelerators. Pre-seed, Series A, and later stage funds. We invested in 70 companies there in total, including Tomorrow Sports from Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
So we have there also, for example, an ecosystem where you can say, hey, it's maybe not specifically for this fund, but you're ready for this accelerator program, a program for 8 weeks where you will give up a little bit of equity, but you're backed by the Adi Dassler family. And we can help you with so much introductions and a whole team to guide you through that process so you will be ready in maybe a year to go to that Series A, Series B rounds. So that's maybe an example how we're approaching this.
I think it's important because one of the main takeaways that I love people to get by hanging out with me is to ask for help. And I said, if you're not guiding every conversation to would it help you if Danny, I introduced you to this guy, I'm going through my head, I'm like, shit, I got to introduce Danny. Would it help you if, would it help you if? But also, hey, do you know anyone that could help me?
Yeah.
I know I'm not ready for you, but do you know anyone that could help me? I'm raising a $500,000 convertible note. Yeah. I have this type of sports technology. I'd love to work with someone that is in your ecosystem so that if I am successful, I'll have an instant entree back into in-studio ventures where we can do our Series A or B at the level of Kevin Durant and Ruben and all the guys that we surround ourselves with. Mm-hmm. What percentage of people ask you that when they get rejected instead of having a need to be offended, blaming you? You know, the below the line behavior is amazing when you tell someone not at this time, even let alone no, I can't help you. Or worse, a lot of venture capitalists just cricket you. And that disturbs me so much. I'm like, just tell the guy no, right? But how many percentage actually say to you, hey, do you know anyone that can help me?
Yeah, it's small.
Very.
I think it's maybe 10-20% who the great founder who's asking a couple more questions and see, okay, what can Danny do? He knows a lot of people. Just ask the question, go for it, right? And I can make that introduction for you, but not everyone is doing that. So I think this percentage is relatively small. I think from my perspective, being from Europe and here in the United States, I think in the United States, from my perspective, people are making more introductions easily. If I compare that with Europe, I think they're holding it more to themselves. But I think it's a great thing just to build together as a team. We're sitting here. Let's see how we can connect the dots. Let's see how we can build up the community together. We're so much stronger. And I really believe in that. I really already from my previous company, what we're doing also with the boardroom, building communities is such an important thing, not only online, but offline, the events like this. It's so credible. But I think it's still the percentage is too small.
All right, last questions, and we'll let them ask questions of you. Entrepreneurs, you know, I bet on jockeys.
Yeah.
I would tell you all the time, A jockey, B horse wins, beats the A horses. Yeah. And I look for certain characteristics in the entrepreneur. to make that investment. If they don't qualify as an entrepreneur, I don't care how great your idea is. I'll say not at this time and give you to somebody else that likes really good deals and kicking entrepreneurs out of the deal. What are the characteristics that you look for in an entrepreneur?
No, I'm totally with you here. It's the jockey in the end, right? Who's making the difference? Because you can have a great company, but if the founder is not the right person, it just will not work. We see it time and time over again. And also take a step back, if I'm looking at my own investment firm, the people where we are working with, right? Also there, the proof is in the pudding. My partner, our other general partner in the fund, he was a lawyer in Silicon Valley for 15 years, a partner. So he has that experience. He scaled two businesses, 2 9-figure exits on his name, 2. Is on the board of a public company and 2 private. So he has great complementary skills to mine and is a great person just to have in a team because, again, he has that legal background. He scaled 2 businesses. So he knows for us, it's really important to look at these companies through an operator lens, if that makes sense. So not only investing in at the Excel sheets, no, right? How can we actually scale these companies and are the people able to scale it as an operator? Yeah, and it comes down to multiple things, but the resilience is important, obviously, because it will be hard, right? Let's be honest.
It will be hard.
Not a question.
If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
Everybody would already have hundreds of millions.
What did you do before? And what can you give examples how you can show your resilience, right? And for me, was it leaving my corporate job, relative high pay, then moving to another country, doing all kind of stuff. Yeah. So I think that's one of the most important where we're looking at. I have a whole list and we're doing tests and we're going quite deep there.
Yeah, for good reason. I agree. I think the number one common denominator of all successful people, not just entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, the billionaires, millionaires, and entrepreneurs that I know, is a desire that they must be what they can be, which creates the resilience. The other thing I look for is an open mind, an open heart, open hands, to ask for help and receive. If you don't have an open mind, open heart, and open hand, I can't work with you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the desire that you must be what you can be, I don't have time to be your therapist and tell you, don't quit. It's okay. I lost everything, And look, I know when someone has a desire that they must be because they do the things that you and I do.
Yeah.
Right? I love people telling me, I'm all in. I'm like, you still live in your house? Because the entrepreneurs that I know that are all in fucking lived in their car for a while until they got back into a place to live. So don't tell me you're all in when you haven't even taken a second mortgage. Right? I'm all in. You have another job? Well, yeah. Oh, you're all in. I'm not investing in you because you're not willing to invest in yourself. When you're all in, you're making that investment, I'm going to make that investment because I know what it's going to take to make you quit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than the guy that still has his house with no second. You're living in your car. Check out a guy named Josh York, created one of the fastest growing franchises in America, Gym Guys with a Z. And he started his gym business. And literally, there's 2 ways to make money, right? Make more money or don't spend as much. That's how we save money. And so he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna live in my car. And this was the amazing thing. I'm going to caddy at the most expensive elite golf club. I don't know golf, but I'm gonna caddy. And I thought he told me I'm gonna caddy to make the relationships with the guys. And I thought, fuck, that's genius. Like, he understands proximity. He's gonna caddy to pitch his idea to these rich guys. No, he's straight out entrepreneur. He lived in his car, so he has no expenses. And then he caddied and he did the research to find out what the rich guys liked. And then he would bring Hershey's with almonds with him. So he would get huge tips because he didn't want to pitch them something that he wasn't ready for. He just wanted $10,000 to start his first Gym Guys franchise. And he has 550 or so now. And he's over $100 million. But that's an all-in guy. Yeah. And I was happy to invest in him. And I'm still happy to invest in him because he had an open mind, open heart, open hands, and he has a desire to be what he must be. And trust me, he made a lot of mistakes like you and I. Thank you so much, Danny.
Thank you.
What incredible insights as usual. Check out In Studio Ventures, an incredible entrepreneur. Check out the new documentary. What's it going to be called?
the mindset of success.
Mindset of success. I think there's no better title than that or subtitle for this, the playbook here at SoFi Stadium, the greatest stadium ever built with the greatest entrepreneurs ever built. Danny, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.